All right, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You want to look at following God's plan, His own way. And following God's plan, His own way. You know, in such a world that we're living in, where there could just be a lot of chaos, sometimes organized chaos, it looks so organized. Religion is organized. And then you get yourself followed an organized way of thinking. And it's chaotic. Chaotic because it's not following God's plan. Now, Hebrews 11. We're taking off from where we stopped last week on times and seasons. You know, one of the things we said was that you need to recognize the times. And recognizing the times is by the leading of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to do here. In Hebrews 11, 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now pay attention to verse 3. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear." Now, before you go further, you see, Hebrews 12:2, if we remove the chapters and verses, now tells us, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith." The author and finisher of faith. Because the verse 1 talks about running a race, or better still, a conflict. But notice this is author and finisher. The Greek would say the perfecter of faith. So which means that what we're dealing with, you know, the word faith in the Greek is the word pistis, and usually is a big word. Some use for believing, but a big word that speaks of the faithfulness of God. In Galatians 2:20, where Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Christ lives in me. The life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Now that can slot in the word faithfulness of the Son of God, because it says, "Who died and who gave himself for me," which means that the action came from God, so he's faithful. And same thing in 2 Timothy 3:15. "For my child that has known the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faithfulness which is in Christ Jesus." So faithfulness is dependability. Someone is dependable. In Genesis 15 and 6, one of the stories here, it says, "Abraham believed in the Lord, and it accounted to him for righteousness." And that word "believe" practically means to rely upon another. So it's another codified language for God's faithfulness and our faith in his faithfulness. But look at verse 3 of Hebrews 11. "For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed." Now he uses the word "ainion," which is the word A-I-N-O-N or A-I-N-I-O-N, which deals with times. The times. You can also, though you have times and seasons, where you have chronos and ainion, two words in Acts 1:7. But the times there refers to a period and activities. He said they were framed by the word of God. And the word "framed" there is the same Greek word you find in Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, which is the word katatizo, to make fit for use. So he said the times were framed, put in their rightful shape by the word of God. The things which were seen were not made with the things which do appear, which means that we're going to read stories that our eyes can see, but they were made of things which do appear. They're not made of things which do appear, sorry. They were made from the unseen world. So which means the things we read in scripture, right from Abel down to the last person, verse 38, 39, they were taken from the unseen world, the supernatural world. And the things we are seeing were not made of things which do appear. So which means that the word of God spoken here is a spiritual substance that frames the world, puts it in place and use. And we're going to be able to explore that. Said we're framed by the Word of God. Okay. Now, in Romans 15, we were there last week, and verse 4, it says, "For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our doctrine, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures we might have hope." Now, Hebrews 11 is one of those places in the scriptures, the New Testament now, where arguably the entire Old Testament is summarized in a chapter, just like Acts 6, precisely 7, where Stephen goes through the Old Testament, and Acts 13, where Paul does the same thing. This is very similar, a very long sermon that takes on the entire Old Testament, and then he says it's by faith, which is, now, we'll get into the details later, but by the faithfulness of God, and where men now depend on God's dependability. Fortunately, some versions will, that's why I'm usually very careful of some of these very modern translations. Faith is the title deed, you know, the title deed. Say, so, you know, title deed of what is expected and all those nice translations, you know. But it's talk about substance, which is something that, now the word hypotasis, which is the word substance here, is something that holds things together. The evidence of things not seen. It holds things together. The evidence of things not seen. And the stories here are the events of what we call the Old Testament. It therefore says that what the things were seen were championed, heralded by the things that couldn't be seen. So which means that we have a seen world, and we have the unseen world right in this earth. And God's faithfulness is consistent that He leads us from the unseen world. So, primarily therefore, the way God frames our world is by His Word. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, just for the sake of emphasis or repetition, 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul says here, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples," tupos in the Greek, "and they were written for our admonition, that we through the pain upon whom the end of the world had come." Now look at the word "ends of the world." Again, it borrows the word "times." So which means that even though our times differ, God is working the same thing. Our times may differ, the events of our days will differ, but what God is doing is the same. That's why they are an example to us. And there are things were for our doctrine, systematic learning, which means that I must pay attention to the stories of the Old Testament and see it as God's story, how God is framing the world that He made, how He's framing the world that He made. I'm going to remind you of what we learned on times and seasons. I'm going to give you a background. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savour," and we have said that that is not trying to smell suya or something like that. It's the word ruach, the Spirit of God rested on Noah's offering. Okay? Which means the Spirit of God took residence. Two very key words are used there. Ruach and Noach. Noach, that's where you have the word resting place, something like that. And that takes you back to Genesis 2 verse 1 to 3, the rest of God, which typifies the temple or His tabernacle. So notice verse 20, Noah builded an altar. And that word "builded" is the Hebrew word bana, B-A-N-A-H, which we'll see in Genesis 2:21, when it says that, "And God took the woman out of the man and made the woman." The word there is bana, which means it's a word for building, okay, to build, to construct. So in Genesis 8:21, look at the God's spirit found a resting place in spite of man's instability. Remember that? You remember that? Are we together here? Oh, good. So it now said in verse 22, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. We have seasons and times. And we said the other day that we must recognize by the leading of the Spirit the times. Now, don't forget, we looked at the work of the Spirit, and we said the work of the Spirit doesn't start from the New Testament books in Genesis 1-2. I said you notice the word wind and the word breath are the same things. Wind, breath. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the breath of God, or the wind of God. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord breathed into man's nostrils, emphusal there, which is the Greek, which actually just means to the spirit in active form, the breath of life. Genesis 3:8, the cool of the day there is not God taking fresh air. That's the Spirit of God. Genesis 6:3, my spirit, that's my breath, shall no longer serve man. So we said that's the contrast of Genesis 8:21. So God had changed that in Genesis 8:21, and he found a resting place in spite of man's instability. In spite of man being of the flesh, the Spirit of God is working. Now look at, which means that our instability, lack of consistency sometimes, does not stop the work of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will rest with us in those times and seasons. We'll see that. Exodus 14 and verse 21. That's at the Exodus of Israel. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Now see, there is two worlds, the natural world and the supernatural. Okay? Huh? Good. Don't forget that. Because it says that the gods of Egypt perished inside the sea. And that's two worlds. The known world, the seen world, and the unseen world. So look at 21. And Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Strong east wind. Strong east, the spirit. Okay, the word east actually means from above. So the Spirit of God was seen on the scene. In Ezekiel 37, notice that Ezekiel was brought to the Valley of Dry Bones, that he was told to prophesy. Can these dry bones leave us? He said, oh Lord, you know, smart guy. Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus hear the Lord God, verse 5, Ezekiel 37, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will cause breath, which is the same word spirit. And that is also efficient, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. Look at 9. Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain that they may live. So you find the work of the spirit. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word theonistos there borrows its meaning from the work of the Spirit here, the active work of the Spirit, to cause men to do something. That's the word inspiration of God, to cause men to do something. And that's what we have also in all these texts we're reading now. So in John 20:22, where John says, and Lord Jesus said to them, receive you the Holy Ghost, he breathed on. And that's the word emphusal, which is the Greek translation or interpretation, or both ways, of Genesis 2 and verse 7. So which means that the way God does things in the earth is by his breath, by his spirit. His spirit will inspire actions taken by men. His spirit will inspire actions taken by men. His spirit will pave the way. The Spirit will guide. The Spirit will go ahead. You know, so we saw all of that in the Old Testament text. Now notice in Genesis 1 and verse 3. So you have to identify the two together. The writer of Genesis does a play of words. In verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God said, let there be light." And that light definitely is not the sun, moon, and stars. So, let there be light. So we find the light of God and the Spirit of God, interchangeable manifestations of God in our midst. Where the Spirit of God is, there is light. Which means there will be illumination, okay? And the Spirit of God is another name for the life of God. So you have life of God, Spirit of God, light of God. And what does God do in Genesis 1, 4, and 5? It separates the darkness from the light. So you cannot be in the Spirit and be in confusion. Is that very clear? It's not possible to be led by the Spirit and be in chaos. There are two contradictory things. Confusion cannot come from that because light makes things clear, manifest. Ephesians 5, that should be verse 14. That which makes manifest is light. So in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and we've done a bit of that, light, night and day, light and darkness, in the other series. Now, in John 1:1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And he says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it." So you have light, life, interchangeably used. In John 8:12, "I am the light of the world." Genesis 1:3. "He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, obviously, the woman who came to Jesus, who was caught in the act of adultery, she was brought to Jesus and they wanted to stone her. And then Jesus said, "If anyone has committed no sin, has no sin, let him cast the first stone." And everybody walked away from the least of them to the greatest. And looked at him and said, "Where are your accusers?" He said, "They've all gone. Neither do I condemn you." Then he said, "Go and sin no more." Now, people assume that "go and sin no more" means don't go and commit adultery anymore. No, that would be funny. That's not what he's saying. The sin was clear, just like John 5, where Jesus had to go to the guy who was paralyzed at the pool. And then, in fact, when he was healed, the guy said, "I don't know who he was," you know. He didn't know who he was. He said, you got to believe and sin no more, better still, lest a worse thing, not a worse sickness, should come on you. Now, why did he say worse thing? And Jesus goes ahead in John 5 to talk about condemnation and destruction. That's the worst thing. Sickness can be the worst thing. The worst thing is everlasting destruction. He says, "Go and sin no more." So go and sin no more there. And of course, the writers of the New Testament use the two words that interpret sin in the Old and New Testament. The New Testament is the word amatai, to miss the mark. In the Old Testament, it also typifies the same thing, to go astray. So go and go astray no more. Who do you go astray from? From God. So go and sin no more means follow me. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have in him the light of life. So, which means that Jesus is meant to give, Jesus gives direction. So you cannot be in the Spirit and be in the flesh. You cannot be in light and be in darkness. They are separated entities. So the moment you have confusion, right, or ignorance, that is darkness. And darkness is separate from light. Look at John 9. You in church? John 9. So, put this down. We must deliberately, I put it here, we must be deliberate and intentional about walking in God's plan. Let me say it again. I must be deliberate and intentional about walking in God's plan. I'll take that again. I must be deliberate and intentional about walking in God's plan for my life. Yeah. Now, in John 9, first of all, Jesus, let's see this. It says in verse 4, I must walk the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can walk. As long as I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. So there is night where we cannot walk. But it says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So first of all, recognize this, that there's darkness and light in this world. Darkness and light exist in this world. So you don't say, whatever will be. That's foolish. Whatever will be cannot be a believer speaking. You can't say, whatever will be, you know. No. There's darkness and light. There's day and night. There is the spirit and there is the flesh. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. So you must don't say, whatever will be, well, whatever will be. Don't utter those words. When you seem to not know what to say immediately, keep your mouth shut. Don't say, whatever will be. Jesus told you not to walk in darkness. So we have day and night. So the New Testament books, let's just go through what we taught the other day. In Romans 13, Paul instructs, verse 11, and I know in the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Night is far spent. The day is at hand. Because he's talking about the system of the world here, the Roman government and all that. So he said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the helmet of light. See, I am deliberate. So you have to be deliberate about it. You have to be. And I read something someone said today. It was a blessing. And it was a huge blessing what he said. And I know I taught that in spiritual growth, but the way he put it was such a blessing. That some of us have a lot of information. You have, your challenge is not that you are not in a church where the word of God is taught. You are there, midweek service, everything. I mean, in fact, you have almost information overload. You have teaching here, teaching there, you have materials. But in the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke about four kinds of soil. Said the first one, the ones that don't understand it. So maybe that couldn't apply to us. You don't understand it. I say Satan came immediately and took the word away. So you tell yourself, no, I understand this. I understand the scriptures. I'm preaching it. You couldn't be preaching it if you don't understand it. And people tell you they understand from what you're preaching, so you understand. So the second soil, he says it was on hard ground. Second soil was on hard ground and was excited. And after a while, affliction came, persecution came, offenses set in, and then the whole thing goes. Now usually, that might not even be the case. You've endured the persecution, the affliction that comes with the word. That might not be the case. But there's a third one that says there was now thorns, right? And weed, allow me to use that phrase, in the heart of the guy, such that it chokes the word. Now, that's the one that says the word is still there. And in the Greek, the word choke means, it doesn't say the word's dying, it just means the word is unfruitful. It's not going to work. So you have, some of us would hear the word, but we have not gotten rid of the thorns. Books you still read, movies you still watch, friends that still hang around you, you know, so you're wondering, why am I not bearing fruit? Because there are thorns. already. So you have a commitment. I remember someone I was teaching years back, and then went to check the person at home. And I saw, I mean, this is someone that will come to service, hear the word. There's too many movies in those days of cassette. You know cassette? There's many cassettes. There's another person that I saw too who had many CDs. I said, this already is a distraction. Because look at how many hours you engage the word. In service, you have just one service. In 2 hours, we're done teaching. You don't come for second service. I didn't ask you to. Midweek service, 2 hours, that's four in a week. You attend your fellowship meetings, maybe 1 hour plus, that's 5 hours. That is where you are committed, right? And then you have some time for the study group assignments, maybe 1 hour, that's 6 hours. But you know the number of hours you spend with other people who always talk to you. They chat you up. And some of us, we're on the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and you know, and there's something addictive. The scientists call it dopamine, where you're looking for expression. And so you're just there. You've heard the word, you have the books, you've read them, you even know it. But there's a whole lot of things choking the word. It's just choking it. So you'll be frustrated because even though the word is there, it's not fruitful. So you need to first of all deal with the thoughts. For example, in Philippians 4:6, the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. And prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. That means before you pray, deal with anxiety. So if you want the word to grow, you have to first of all deal with the thorns and thistles. My early years of commitment to the ministry, I took a decision not to watch TV. Because I was bound to TV. Bound. When I say bound, I mean it was bound. I don't want to say bondage. I was bound to TV. So much. You know, that even in the boarding house, we had this TV that I was staying in our room, we flew downstairs. And I'll naturally just stay up late to watch the movies at night. BCOS, NTA. You just watch and watch. And we had video club. You watch and watch and watch and I was able to describe movies and all that. You know, and many things would drop in your head. Because there's nothing that is in, there's no neutral entertainment at all. So I took a decision, hey, stay off TV. The only thing I didn't stop watching is football. I hope your mind is not somewhere else. I didn't stop watching that one. And if I did news, I cut it short. I just watch football because football has no, there's nothing spiritual there. Can you mean, I left some thoughts. Package thoughts. After a while, I stopped it really. And I just focused just to have more time to just study the word. Many people have not built their convictions long enough. So they assume that they know. And it's right there in your head. E.W. Kenyon and John Wesley calls it mental asset. So you know what we're talking about. You even preach it, but you are not bearing fruit because you are thorns. Some people know the divine leading. If they can teach other people and say, this has to be led by the Spirit of God, but how come in their own lives they don't walk in it? Because they are thorns. That's not making the word of God effective. Praise the Lord. So you look, notice the number of hours you spend with other things, other people, with a whole lot of influence. And I've told you, man is a product of influence. Never underestimate the place of influence. You are a product of influence. Things you hear every day. So sit back one day and tell yourself, where do I get most of the information on my mind? I get it from my academics, yeah. I get it from my career. I get it from the social media. I get it from the regular media. I get it from people around me. Do I have enough content to ward off thorns if they come through those sources? If I don't, then there can't be growth. I must be deliberate about what I don't watch. You must be deliberate. Deliberate about what you don't read. Deliberate about what you don't watch. Look at Proverbs 25. See something. Proverbs 25. The writer here says in verse 28. Now Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So you must guard your heart. Say, I guard my heart. Look at Proverbs 25:28. Let's take it together. He that has, Proverbs 25:28. Let's go. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. You become no rule over your thoughts. No rule over what you think. No rule over what comes to you. You must put control over the things you think, over the things you say. You must put control over them. So, when you see that you have a lot of information but no fruit, check the thorns that have grown. They're growing. Growing. So you have the Word of God and other beliefs. You're a believer, believe God, you know, but you have other beliefs. So when it comes to being led by the Spirit of God, somebody was telling me one day, and the person is a member of this church, said, my instinct does not fail me. Eh? My instinct, and that thing is the spirit of suspicion. My instinct does not fail me. After all the series, my instinct doesn't fail me. And that instinct will come with paranoia, fear, doubt. How would you be talking instinct? Born of the spirit, though. Instinct. Without instinct, you cannot be distinct. You know, can you imagine a believer saying, when I saw that, my car did not start in the morning. What's happening? What? You have all the material, leading of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit every day. He's there every day. You have all the teachings. God's direction is simple. We're following God everything. We are still saying, just wondering. It's unusual for my generator not to work. It's unusual. The way this car broke down, what's God telling me? With car. So you see that there are thorns and thistles. They are there. They will choke the word of God. It won't bear fruit. You can't be born again after many years. They say you are instinct. What's instinct? What's instinct? What does the instinct help you do in your life? Instinct. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I walk in the light. Amen. Be deliberate about walking in the light. Don't make assumptions. Praise the Lord. And one of the things you will know, when people walk in God's plan, that are led by the Spirit of God, they are consistent. They are consistent. You see, my instinct. How can you say that at this point? A new convert? Yep. A new member of the church who has not been taught the word of God well yet? Yes. After a while, you should stop saying that. I'm led by the Spirit of God. If it's difficult for you to know whether it's the Spirit of God, it simply means you need to go and immerse yourself more into God's word. That's all. When the pastor says, I don't know whether it's God, I'm hearing two voices. None of them is God, definitely. God is not a rival. I know you are watching, God will wear white, or his angel, he'll wear black. I say, Don't go. You go. And that can even be in your head. Hey, I have two things now. Is it God? Is it not God? Neither is. In him there is no darkness at all. Is that okay? There's no darkness at all. So, we must be deliberate. Romans 13. It says we cast off the darkness. Romans 13. Put on Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to feel the lust thereof. So, we must be deliberate. 1 Thessalonians 5. So, two things. Be deliberate about not walking in darkness, okay? Be deliberate. If you find yourself, all your decisions are made because you are Googling something. You went to Google. You went to check something. You went to... There's problem. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 4. You brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you like a thief. Hallelujah. Look at 4. Let's take 4 together. Can you change it for yourself? Put yourself there. We are all children of light. And the children, we are not of the night, nor of the dark. Verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep as do others. Watch and be sober. Which means that, hold on, we'll continue. Which means that in the world, I must just be a sober person. That is, I have self-control. I'm not, you know, just driven right, center, left, loose and light. Watch this now. Look at verse 7. Let's go. They that sleep in the night. They that be drunken. So it has asked us to consciously not walk in darkness. Consciously not walk in darkness. I love my dad. It's my lobby has a picture. I love my father a lot. But when I got born again, before I got saved, he told me that anytime I hear born again, I should run. That's what he told me. He said, never born again. He said, they are lying. He said, there are two things you need to do. You enter heaven. He told me, and he was my model. He said, don't lie. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's all. So you enter heaven. He didn't quote the verse. He didn't quote the word of God. So I was following him. So when I got born again, I said to myself, my dad was wrong. He was wrong. That if he can be wrong on salvation, then he can be wrong on any other thing. Now that may not apply to you. I'm saying the way I took his words. You know, so I said, if he could be wrong, he's not born again. So, I decided to pray more over my decisions and be sure it's God's word. To the point that he told me what I was going to study. You know, I don't know whether you grew up in that generation where they will feel down for you. Yeah, first choice. Second choice. So I let him do it and I went to change it myself. But one day, he saw me off to registration, registered for the course. As he left, I went to collection of course form. Why? I just felt, no. This man cannot be led by the Spirit of God. So, now I'm not asking you to do that. Anyway, you're old enough not to do that. But I just knew, now, I can't continue that way. He was wrong on salvation. He was wrong about Jesus. No matter how emotionally attached I was to him, I had to decide whether I wanted to follow God or follow my dad. Now over the years, I've sorted that out and became best of friends eventually, and he got saved. And he said, one of the ways I knew that God called you was your consistency. One time like that, we're going to talk about prayer or something. So we're in the house with some people. my relatives, cousins, and he said, oh, God cannot talk to you. You're always watching films. We're talking to them. He said, let's go and listen to that one. That one is always praying. That's the person God talks to. God cannot talk to us. He said, we know. He's the one that prays, that reads the Bible. But isn't that true? How can you take advice from somebody who doesn't study scripture? And yeah, he says, my mentor. Of course, somebody can be your mentor career-wise. Someone just doesn't know how to make the distinction. Your mentor career-wise, their career now becomes family. Now becomes what you are doing. And people don't know how to keep boundaries. He's talking career. He says, hey, I wanted to ask you. Well, sir. See, you know I love you. Mentor for academics. Where love comes inside? You know. For me, I may not be a Christian, even told you. I may be a nominal Christian. But look, I've been in this world. God has been here before you. Yeah. So, but if you have such mentors and you don't have sufficient information in God's word, you walk astray, you go astray. The way God's method are men, Satan's method is men. People, you are just vulnerable. I'm very vulnerable. So I had to take the decision there, I was going to just follow God's plan. And it had nothing to do with trying to disobey or create trap. No. Don't do that one. That's childish. You can walk in God's plan without creating strife at home. You can do that. Well, I'm convinced God told me to do this. I make sure that you are convinced. Not that you are convinced today, tomorrow you are confused. That's why you must be deliberate about walking with God. Is that clear? Ephesians 5, we were there last week. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 16. I will say that word, the exogorazo, which means to save the time because the days are evil. So you and I will know how to redeem the time by walking in God's plan. So let me repeat what I said earlier for emphasis. You need to deliberately get rid of the thorns and thistles. Some things battle the word of God in your mind. You lay hold on the word. You know the text. You know the scriptures. You even taught others. But you have other beliefs somewhere in your mind that you are holding on to. Paul calls some of them strongholds. It's somewhere in your mind. And you feed it the more. Feed it the Lord. Kind of people you hang around, or they hang around you. You know, sometimes we underrate the place of influence. Let me tell you how to know what influences you. Whatever takes your attention. Your attention is so costly and so expensive. Don't make it cheap. Okay? Is that okay? It's so expensive and costly. Don't make it cheap. You know what? I tell some of my friends, I said, did you? I said, I don't know. There's too many things in my head. I cannot be putting this one there. So you know, your head is multitasking. Between unbelief and faith, that's multitasking. Between following God and following man. And the reason why you are doubting is because somebody told you, you know, my dad told me one story. He said there was one of his colleagues told me that long story. So he told me to another uncle of his, uncle of mine, but his own elder cousin. The man used to wear white. Then the man was very holy. So the man spoke for hours. I kept nodding. I said, yeah. So he said, very well. He said, so what have you decided to do now? What I was doing before I came here. He said, I said, yes, sir. I've told my dad not to worry. So he went to see my dad and said, you have to pray, One of my uncles called me and said, because my dad went around, you know, trying to, you know, emasculate my confidence. So it was like, when I businessman, they all now tell me many, many stories. So I was looking at my uncle. My uncle said, so, have you heard me? He didn't allow me to say anything. I said, I've heard you, sir. So we went out and said, so I have told him that all this fellowship, church ministry, you should stop it. And he has agreed. I said, no, sir, I did not agree. He said, ah. My mother said, but I told you. So I never agreed. You were the one doing the talking. So what did I want to do? What I was doing. That he came to call me. Now, why was I that confident? Because I was feeding on the word of God. If I was spending time on movies, I watching Arelu, Omar Ayeli, Enrique Rido. I forget that song. What's that song? That's all I can remember. Who can remember here? Enrique Rido, who can remember Enrique Rido? No, there's one song like that that will play anybody on every stress. I mean, Eddie, I know you will know it. And the song is, you see, Friday, I think it's Friday evening. People don't be quiet, they'll be in the house. Believers. They'll now get to church and they're hearing the word of God, they're looking around. The word of God is choked. They have, this is our God, though. They have everything, they are reading it. Why is he finishing it? Bam, Netflix. This one that I have, one, season two, season three, the next episode. Next, till you finish 12 episodes. Observe. These are God, you became tired. After 2 hours, you'll say, that's what people said, it's a research material. So, you couldn't spend 2 hours that one without saving. Season one, season two. This thing is sweet, oh, this movie is sweet. Yeah, watching. At the end of the day, that's what you have clogged your mind with. Because all the movies also have their own philosophies. I write, so I know exactly what this is what you want to project. You put it there, and people are thinking like you. So you have that idea. People, you have so many things influencing you at the same time. You'll be just one, someone said, I've known you since you were a child. God has known me before I was born. Don't harass me with that. Hallelujah. So I deliberately follow God. You must deliberately remove the thorns and thistles. You must do it. You must. I remember I told someone, I said, why is it that you don't even watch movies at all? There's no TV in your house. He said, I heard your story. My own was worse. So you must be deliberate, okay, in removing those things. You must be deliberate. Because the word will be choked. You just say, I know the word. Now what's going on? There are other things you know that you are practically, that they've clogged your mind. So this person was saying, my own is different though. So, they just leave me the way I am. It's like one sister. She knew scriptures, she was a new creation, but she didn't use to wear a ring. I had new makeup. I said, why? I said, that's all. Leave me and God. I'm not saying the Bible. If you know my old man and my earlier new man. It was conflict too. So I just decided that this thing has become bondage for me. Let me break it. So there are people like that, they are deliberate about it. They are deliberate. Some of us, anything that happens, you've called 5 people. You've called your mommy. You've called your daddy. Even a married man. Mommy, hey. Somebody, they take a phone, report their wives. Mommy, hey, what do I you? Come and collect your child. Somebody did that. And I said, are you not ashamed of yourself? I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, you're not sorry, you're stupid. Your wife is saying, mommy, on the phone. I said, look, rename your house to boarding house. You are in the hostel. Your dad and mom body house master. Say no, sir. Say no, you made it now. Are you serious? That's so inter. No, be led by the Spirit of God. And parents need to know this. It gets to a point. Teach your children how to be led. Go and pray about it. Sometimes I used to parental rod and staff, a scepter of my kingdom. Who was telling me that? He told my son must follow me to my church. I said, how old is your son? He has master's degree. I said, you have become a witch. How can you tell somebody? No. It's by precepts and by example. Be led by the Spirit of God. Teach that what you want. Look at God's word. Be led by the Spirit of God. Same thing in the family. I know the family, he that prays together stays together. That's in him. Family that prays together, we must go to the same church. It's not by commandment. Anybody who cannot go to my church cannot live in this house. Is that not persecution? That's persecution now. Praise God. Some of our children also have been issues with their belief. Right? I explain to them, say, you will not shame me. You will not shame me in this life. Ah, what did he just say? Daddy, I'm just thinking. That thing in the Bible, is it true? Ah, yeah. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't say, oh, you didn't tell any of your friends. I told my friend, yeah. That is not how to do it. When you hear that, okay, we'll talk about it. Start praying. That's the first thing. Start praying. And limit your time on Facebook. Before you say, the child of nowadays, my child of nowadays, pray. And put out the word of God. A parent told me, said, my daughter is this one, so and so. Said, Pastor Chris, I'm afraid. I said, don't be afraid. They live in the West. Said, don't be afraid. I said, give the person, excuse me, Pastor, I have a question. Said, just begin, say, yeah. Said, it will take a while, no? Don't think that the person will move from gay on Monday. So it's going to take a while, though. Okay, Pastor Chris, how long? I know I'm born of God, but do I look like God? I don't know. But be patient. Pastor gave me a test where I said, that is off. It took a while. See, I'm so thankful. I said, be patient. Don't use force. Everybody must pray in this house. They might be posting them at 10 o'clock. Come out! Devil! They are not beating the drum. You don't need the judge to my home. We are just looking at you. And they start hating God. What kind of God is this one? I want to sleep. They say, come and pray. And the prayer, you don't know the meaning. You didn't exercise your faith? Nothing. You amen. Amen. You can't say amen. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Let me get back what I was saying. You must ensure you know what's influencing your emotions. And ensure that you are deliberately removing the thorns and the thistles. I want to leave you with that tonight before I go further. Make sure that you find out what is hindering the word. I have a lot of information. What's happening? How come every time I want to take a decision, I'm always jittery? How come? And you can be a very good preacher. You know, you can cook meals and not eat it. You can be a doctor and not take your own counsel. Right? I had a doctor... was my boss. So I said, doctor, you do this, you do, how come you are this? Very good, sir. Let go. Something will kill a man. But if you sit him down, he will give you analysis of diseases, he will tell you what. I said, so he wasn't actually taking what he was giving others. You must eat what you are serving. Is that clear? And that's for all of us who are pastors. Don't Let me tell you how I prepare teachings. I've told you before. When I'm preparing a sermon, I'm feeding on it. You can't separate your preparing sermons. For example, let's separate it from where I'm preparing a sermon, from the Word of God. No, they are woven together. I prepare sermons virtually every minute of the day because I'm always thinking about it. I'm thinking about it, thinking about it, thinking. And it's not primarily so that I will be able to preach it, but I must be able to preach it. It's okay, then this is clear. You know, I told someone, I said that initially, when it comes, I got born again where rapture was supposed to be something that scares all of us. If you want everybody to cry, just say rapture. I mean, so I knew that it was over. By time, I wasn't just preaching it. If you will move me, I'll just be laughing. If I start teaching like that, it used to scare us. I won't mention the name. When you hear that, in those days, you'll cry. You'll cry. In fact, you won't listen to the stressful of that thing is that you don't listen to it to the end. So later I listened to it, I'll smile and say, what is this? There was not a strong conviction. I told you how I had this, godfather then. I mean, my dad called him my godfather. Very good man. From Nigeria season then, it's late now. So when he heard I was born again, he asked to see me. Then he decided to, the way he scattered scripture that day. Me, that my own Bible was that, have you seen that RSV Bible green that has palm tree in front? That I had that kind of Bible. That's for CRK. And that was my Bible. So then he said, what is born again? He now explained born again to me. He said, where was Jesus when he was 12? Before he was 12, where was he? When he went to Egypt, what did he learn? He was just giving me questions. Me that wasn't to just escape Antichrist. He now explained to me. He said, no, Jesus was by just adding word witness. I'm born again. That's not sufficient though. So I ran away from for many years. I was careful. They used to have party. I didn't go. That's why you go to party again. Go and get confused. He said, I like how you used to read. So he asked me to, I used to do home reading in his house. Uncle Charles needs you to read in his house. I said, I'm not reading. Because when I get there, he has so much influence. When he starts talking again, I say, it's true. I've not seen Jesus before too. Have you seen Jesus before? I said, no. He said, there are different kinds of Jesus. He said, Jesus has a black one. The only one I know is in the movie, Robert Powell. I went back to him. I said, sit down. I said, I want to talk to you now. He said, I brought it to him to his library, where all these Rosicrucian books were there. And I said, this is people trying to seek for God. They don't know him. I told him Acts 17. You are now a pastor. I said, yes. He's like, what do you have with this guy? He was engaging me at the front of Silver Gullis now. Oriwu Son House. And the guy was shouting and I said, bring your Bible, let me give you my own. What did you do? You finished him. Use my Bible, let me use your own Bible. The guy was looking at me. I said, share this. Before if I met them, there was one guy that used to come and do follow-up for me. What happened was that the first time he came, I wasn't feeling fine. So I allowed him to serve and I said, yes. So do you not believe? I said. So he now came back for follow-up. He came back for follow-up. He said, hey, what was it? I said, oh my God, yeah. He was surprised. He said, oh, are you? I said, you think that you will go to hell? I wasn't feeling bad. How can I be arguing? I just take in there. I said, okay. He said, so the kingdom is here? He said, you must begin. I said, yeah. Just go. So that conviction. Now, let's take it out of just doctrine about God's plan for your life. You know, you must be sure. I said, you need to be sure. If you have been born again for how long? At this rate, you cannot be G3. You have to be sure. So write this down again. I will deliberately walk with God. Write it down. I will be deliberate. That means on a daily basis, there will be what I will be doing to follow God. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
You know you can use that prayer chain period to just be feeding on God's word along the lines of leading of the Spirit. But Hagee will say that a believer needs to have an understanding of faith and healing. He said, because you either need it for yourself or people around you. Do you know that people around you also rely on you being led by the Spirit of God? It's a subject you must know. They are led by the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Right, the world is doing something, you are confused. The world has no number on you. Has nothing on you. You are born of God. Is that okay? Led by the Spirit of God. Now let's get to the meat of this teaching. Psalm 127. I've been warned not to have favorite scripture, but trust me, this is a scripture that stood out for me over the years. And I got it from Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. He says, the watchman waketh in vain. Except the Lord build the house. Now, that is the same word we mentioned earlier, bana. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. So, it comes to the statement that we make it. Actually, it was a friend of mine who shared with me, Tony Williams, a pastor in Redeem now. I think he's even a previous pastor. We're school together. He said, the worst thing that can happen to a human being is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. There's one picture like that I post on my Facebook. There was this guy, he offloaded, let's say 400 bricks. He now found out it was the wrong address. You know, that really, it looks funny, but imagine answering the wrong question in the exam. Then the compulsory one, you didn't see it. That carried 50 marks. And I'm asking the wrong question. And you know, sometimes, you might even do it intelligently. So that the person marking it will feel like, do you understand? But, that's all. To do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. They said, let me put it more right. They said, the conference is going to take place in Lagos. Now, you didn't ask which Lagos. There's another Lagos. Then you went to buy the ticket for that Lagos. And you woke up very early. So, no. And you got on the flight to that Lagos. And you get there, they say, oh boy. What are you here to do? There's a conference. No, there is no conference. You have worked hard. You have paid money. But it's the wrong thing you have done. So never look at following God from accomplishments. You can do efficiently what not ought to have been done at all. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I'll get to some of the details next week. But you notice that Eve was built. The same word Bayith in the Hebrew, B-A-Y-I-T-H, is used for the house and temple of God. And let me pause and just mention this. When God spoke to Noah, he gave Noah specifics how to build the ark, which is a shrine. And when Moses in Exodus 25:40 was also going to build, he said, take heed that you build according to pattern. And the words are the same thing. So, when the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it, it means, look, you can go ahead, build the Tower of Babel, build this one, and it is not for God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that our minds are open to this, that we will not waste time or waste our efforts. You know, there's a trip I had one time, and I went outside Nigeria to preach this year for 26 years. And when I got to that mission, Lord asked me, did I ask you to come? And I was so excited. I didn't even pray about it. I just was so excited. And before they, and that thing was so rushed. But they do a passport for me, you know, not my regular passport, the regular passport, the package. Did I ask you to come? The Lord said to me, he said, go back to Nigeria. When time comes, I'll open that mission for you myself. I was invited. They paid for my head. I said, no, did I ask you to do it? Someone told me, say, it's time to write a book. I said, no. When it's time to write a book, we will know. He said, no, look at this, you know, the way I've known you since this one. I said, listen. So by the time we started reading the book, he said, your own self. You stayed for how many years? You are now overloading us. I said, no, well, that was where we were led. And you'll always know. Some Brother Higgin told Kenneth Copeland, always know how God leads you. We'll get to that. Except the Lord builds the house, I won't labor in vain. I won't labor in vain. I won't labor in vain. Except the Lord watch the city. Say you just wake up in vain. So there's such a thing as building with God. Brother Hing will say, at the end of your life, if God should ask you, did I ask you to do this? People don't know that. Even things like the local assembly, things like that, you have to be able to say, this is God's spirit. Your marriage, relationships, things like that. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, look at 1 Samuel 15. One of the things I want to talk about this evening, because I'm talking already, is be careful for being in a hurry. You know, some people are always in a hurry. Be careful for being in a hurry. In 1 Samuel 15, I know we've done this, a bit of study of Saul. Saul was a corporate guy. He wasn't used to all this, follow the prophets. He wasn't used to that. In fact, when Samuel anointed him, he didn't even say it to his uncle. He didn't even, was a corporate guy, so he was used to looking at data, stuff like that. So when Samuel gave him instructions about the Amalekites, Ziklag, in 1 Samuel 15, and then, now notice what he said to him in verse 2. The Amalekites did to Israel, then he said, smite, try, destroy all that I have, slay, bull, whatever, and all that. Of course, we explain the meaning of slay and all of that. Now, what did Samuel do? Saul smote the Amalekites, verse 7. He took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, these are Old Testament phraseologies. We've done this study over and over again. So it's not genocide. And Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, of the oxen and the fatlings and lambs, were all good and would not utterly destroy them. And everything that was vile and refused that they utterly destroyed. And the Lord wrote him to Samuel, saying, it repents me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he turned his back from following me, and not followed, perform my commandments, and he grew Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. Samuel arose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was Samuel saying, Saul came to Camp Carmel, and behold, he set him up as a place, and he's gone about, and passed on, and gone to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul and said to him, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou, Lord. I performed command of the Lord and said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord thy God, and the rest were utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, stay and I'll tell you what the Lord said to me this night. He said, say on, very rude guy. I said, when you were little in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed thee king over Israel. The Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Therefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the soil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now notice what he said. Yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of Amalekites, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But who took of the spoil? Sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord thy God. He was tying it to spirituality. is for the Lord. The psalmist said, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity and idolatry." Look at that. He said to obey is better than fasting and prayer. I told someone, say, "I'm fasting for two." I said, "Look, all this was, if you like, fast for 1 year. Eh? Other fasting, they're still going to obey." So fasting does not turn God's hand. And sometimes we are like that. There was a time like that I couldn't wait for Samuel. Say, Samuel was late, he moved. You know, I have to be careful. Said to obey is better than sacrifice. Don't cover up disobedience by spiritual action. After all, I went for evangelism. After all, I taught people the word of God. After all, I gave. After all, I healed the sick. How does that replace obeying God? How? After all, I married a Christian. Must you marry every Christian? After all, like, you know, after all, I'm going to a church, you know? After all, you know, people feel like, I don't know, I can put something spiritual over it. No. There's such a thing as the leading of the Spirit of God. And to obey it. See, to obey is better than sacrifice. The sacrifice there, to obey God is better than offering, going for outreach, going for, say, obey God. You know, you can be in competition in ministry and be competing against other churches. The programs they are doing, you are doing it. And it looks okay. What could it go? This one. And you know in your heart, you are just competing. And the thing is, people will be blessed. People will be blessed. Don't look at people being blessed as a sign that you're obeying God. Of course, when you're obeying God, people will be blessed. Obeying God is self-evident in itself. So we have to watch impatience. Look at Exodus 32. Some people are very impatient. Exodus 32. Moses went for a retreat. He and the elders, they went to fellowship with the Lord. And they said they could not wait. Exodus 32. Till Moses delayed to come down. They wanted something fast. And that haste got them to create an idol. Sometimes somebody will come to you and say, "Sir," I say, "Okay, you don't wait. I'm going to give you a teaching." Say, "Ah, no, sir. Teaching?" The person will say, "Look, I don't want to hear any teaching. Tell me directly." And go ahead and do something wrong. Now listen to this. Go and feed upon this one. And immediately they created a calf. Because Moses was delaying. You called your pastor. You know God's been using him to talk to. I said, "What do I do?" He said, "Wait for me. Just hold on." "Sir, hold on." "Okay, sir. Thank you, sir." "Till when, sir?" "Till when?" "Till then." "Okay, sir." And sometimes like that, you have God's spirit. So God doesn't say hold on. Doesn't say no. God can say, "Hold on. We're going to do something in church. We are at the pastor, we have planned it. I also realized that I feel we should hold on. That this will not be us. We have the structure, we can do it. It may not be us. So let's just pray a bit. We'll find out. You do it though, you will be blessed. But did God tell you?" I know it will be a danger too, because now you have a lot of people to carry out anything. You have workers, you have leaders, so you can decide, "Just I want money, let me just do this." And you forget your background. That you normally will fast and pray. You have vigils upon vigils to be very clear. But you have enough workers now, you have people that can do this, I just straight into the flesh. You follow what I'm saying here? So they were in a hurry. Always watch it when you are in a hurry. What's pushing you? There are things God will do that has a time. There could be something he will say, don't do yet. And the same thing he said, don't do now, you say, do it later. In Matthew 10, he told the disciples deliberately, the apostles, not to go to the way of the Gentiles and Samaritans at that time. But in Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, all of Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth, which means that it's about the timing. In Acts 16, you say, this is God, you know. Paul, in verse 6, they were, imagine hearing this from God. You think it's the devil. Let's read it together. Acts 16 verse 6. And the region of what? Now let's read the other part together. They were to preach. Stop there. The Holy Ghost says, don't preach. You know, you know it's a demon. Don't preach in Asia. He stopped them from going to a place. Look at it. They came to Bithynia and they are said to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit stopped them again. Noble intention? Yeah. Was he going to serve? If they had gone there, they would have preached. Who will get born again? You know, eventually, when they now saw a man of Macedonia, told them to go. When they now went to, they were now locked up in prison. You would think that when they were going to was to preserve them for something. No. It's a higher purpose. God's leading is way beyond your desires. Way beyond your delight. And they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. I don't walk in vain. So I don't walk in vain. You must be careful. Don't do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. One way to follow God, and I can say this one in a very easy way, don't think you are intelligent. To hear from God, you have to be very humble in your attitude. Don't think you are intelligent. You can figure things out. And you have to be careful. God doesn't know how to plan. You just plan. You know, you set all the plans. And you now want God to bless what you have planned. No, we can't do that. He said, they labor in vain. Psalm 127 verse 1. The word vain there is the word shav. S-H-A-V. It means a lie. Empty and a lie. False. Exodus 20 verse 7. Do not bear the name of the Lord in vain. Exodus 23 verse 1. Don't bear false witness. That's the word sharp there. Vain. Look at Psalm 12. And verse 2. They speak vanity everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips. So, when that vanity will be flattering you, it's vanity. Empty is falsehood. I don't build on lies. In the name of Jesus. Don't forget, you have to be deliberate too. Psalm 41 and verse 6. He speaks vanity. His heart gathers iniquity. That's the word. Empty and false. Empty and false. It's false. Empty. Fruitless. A journey that is fruitless. Is this God's plan? You have to know. You look at the pressure people are under now to change location, change job, change everything. Is it God's plan? And never define God's plan by comfort. Comfort may just be the devil's plan. Don't define God's plan by comfort. As long as it's easy for me, it's God. That's not biblical. Are you here? No, it's not. Look at Psalm 103. So, I'll take it again. Be very deliberate. Do you hear me? You know, I told you that the moment you feed on the Word of God, the Scriptures, and you want to get something from it, you missed it. Have a humble heart to feed on the Word of God, to know what is God's mind. And be ready for Him to knock your own beliefs. Be ready for Him to uproot the things you were thinking before. Look, I said to you many times that the fact that people will quote scriptures, someone told me, but how come people are quoting these scriptures? People are telling us right interpretation of scripture, but people are quoting these scriptures and they are getting results. This is also, I said, look, when I was healed of a terminal case disease, I didn't even know where the verse was. Later years when I studied that verse, I didn't mean what I believed. But as long as God was a healer, He healed me. But that's not what the text meant. So what now happens? If I don't understand scripture, and yet I get miracles, you'll be living in delusion. You must separate miracles from following God's plan. Miracles will be on the way, no doubt. But it is not equal to following God's plan. Look at Psalm 103. Are you in church? Verse 7, let's take it together. The Lord, verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses and His acts. Can you see the distinction? His ways. The word acts there is the word alila. A-L-I-L-A-A-H. It means deeds. But He made known His ways, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, which means His plan. For 40 years, Israel was seeing signs and wonders, whether they knew scriptures or not, whether they served God or not, they were seeing miracles, but they never walked in His plan. So 40 years, they wandered and wandered in unbelief. But one man knew his way. And of course, Moses represents a couple of other people. He knew what God wanted to do. So when you come to church, hear what I'm about to say. As important as it is to have your own needs, and you are believing God for a miracle, I mean, God's power is always working too. But your primary thing, the primary purpose in your mind, let me know God's plan. The scriptures are about God's plan. Not about our desires. There's a very wrong teaching that you go to the scriptures to look for something that will back up your desire. That is error. The scriptures unveil God's plan. And that's why let prayer not be your way of exchanging, let me say, contracting with God. Let prayer be how I walk in God's plan. Let your prayer life be like that. Is why you won't say, now, maybe you had problems with money, your finances was going down, then you were praying a lot, pray. Ah, you were fasting, then you got a contract, $20 million, $100 million, $1 billion. The moment your prayer life reduces, you never had a prayer life. You now find no reason to pray. Maybe your prayer now is like, oh Lord, all the enemies after my money. No. You pray to follow God's plan. See, let us begin to see the scriptures, our lives, as what should glorify God. And that is why we study the scriptures. So when you come to the service, let it not be about you. Say, today, I come to know God's plan. Is that clear? That's why that song, you fill our hearts with your purpose and your plan. You are the builder. We are your edifice. So when we come to the service, He fills our hearts with His own passion. What He wants. So God's word is not about you, okay? It's about Him. made his ways known to Moses. It's direct. Direct means his path. Where is he going? Hallelujah. One important thing the local church does to you, and I believe this scripture is doing that, you know God's plan in the earth. You are not led by CNN, hallelujah, Fox News, TVC, Arise TV, NTA, or influencers, content creators. No. You are led by God's word. From God's word, you know God's plan. So make up your mind. I was sharing with some pastors a couple of weeks ago. I said, look, you have to choose what really is important to you. If you're a pastor, is it what people want you to do? Or when you go to bed at night, you'll be satisfied. I have done what God says I should do, according to the word. You have to make up your mind. And that should go to your life. To follow God's plan. Don't cover disobedience with prayer and fasting. Don't cover disobedience with feeding on scripture. You already know what God says. It's in the written word. Go and do it first. Follow God's plan. Don't marry a non-believer. They say, I know what to do. You are confused though. When we say that I know what to do, say, I am confused. I don't know. How did you first do? Why did you do that? Follow God's plan. So, scriptures reveal God's plan to us. And where did we start? We said Hebrews 11:1, the faithfulness of God. So I can read the scriptures and see how God consistently, you will notice the pattern, how he consistently led people. It's all about him. That is why the writer of Hebrews says that close here. The author and finisher of that faith. Of faith. The author and finisher. So God's plan is critical. For us. It's for us. Very critical. Don't forget how we started. Deliberately follow God's plan. Take away the thorns and thistles. You have heard series on letters of God. How come you are still confused? Check the other things in your mind or your heart. How come? Let me say you something. It is easier to hear from God than to hear from the devil. Because you are born of God. And in the name of Jesus, you will never live your life with guesswork. You hear me? You will never live your life in assumptions. You won't assume. You will know. Because you are born into the realm of those who know. He that walks with me will not follow, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. And surround yourself with people that are led by God's Spirit. Surround yourself with people like that. That are led by God's Spirit. People that they will seek God before they do things. They will look at the word. Hallelujah. I follow God's plan. I follow God's plan. So, we're not led by the media, amen? No, we are not. We're not led by the senses. We're not led by emotional relationships. We're led by the Spirit of God. And we don't build in vain. We don't build in vain. We'll check all that later next week. Except the Lord build the house. He said they labor in vain. If God says, you labor in vain, then you do. I'll tell you something. I said, when Paul said that, if you don't build according to his plan, see, everything is going to be destroyed and you will suffer loss. See, if God's word says you will suffer loss, you will suffer loss. You may think, because I'm saved, if God's word says you will suffer loss, that means it's a loss. If God calls something a loss, it's a loss. But you won't suffer loss. In the name of Jesus. You are obedient to God's Spirit and to His leading. You follow his plan. You don't have emotional reactions and walk out of God's plan. You are not in haste. You are not in a hurry. You follow God. No assumptions. No presumptions. Lift your hands and just worship him right now. Submit yourself again to the leading of the Spirit of God. Do it tonight. Let me say something here. Some of us are having relationships that suddenly you are wondering whether you are in the will of God for your life. Any relationship that suddenly makes you to doubt, it can't be of God. Is that clear? I like that song. I'm in the center of God's will for my life. In my heart, there's peace. All around me, sorry, is the peace of God. Amen. Is that okay? Anything that is bringing lack of assurance, you have to walk away from it. I sense right now that people here are just under unusual influences. Cut away from those influences. And stay in the Word more. Stay in the Holy Ghost more. Pray in the Spirit more. Things will be clearer to you. Clearer to you. And don't always look for God's leading in the big decisions. Start with the small, small things. Is that okay? Let's just take 1 minute or two and just dedicate ourselves. Lift your head and just say, Lord, to your plan for my life, I won't be in a hurry. I won't be presumptuous.